Back to Genesis 39, and this is going to be what a preacher calls a charge. Whenever he's not going to preach as long, he calls it a charge, okay? And so that's kind of what I got here today. It's really just a charge, not just for Priscilla. So if you're not graduating from high school today, don't turn me off. This can be good for all of us. But I want to look into the life of Joseph, and I've entitled this The Secret to Success. And I'm assuming that you know something as we get going here. I'm assuming that you know that worldly success and what God calls success are different things. I'm assuming you know that. We're not going to spend any time on that. But worldly success is very simple. It's just making a bunch of money or being better than the next guy, you know, financially or in stature. Godly success, I would say, is finding God's will and following it, really simply. So really anything could fall into that. But Joseph is one that through extraordinarily difficult circumstance, continuously was successful, and the Bible calls him prosperous. And so I just want to look at this and just try to learn a little bit from Joseph this afternoon. Look at verse 1, Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. We find in this text, and I'm also hoping you know a little bit about the story of Joseph. So we understand at the point that we're at here in Genesis 39, his brothers have already sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him, but Reuben spoke up and said, "Hey, let's don't kill him. Let's make money on this." You know, he kind of took a righteous or more righteous position, but not really. He just said, "Let's just sell him." And so they have sold him, and they sold him into the hands of the Midianites. And now he's ends up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar, it says there in verse number one, had purchased him from the Ishmaelites. And so Joseph, I don't know how you would really consider yourself to be in worse circumstances than Joseph was right here. Thrown away by his brothers and by his family and found in a really difficult spot, not only away from his family, but sold into slavery in a very real way. And so I want to make something clear. Priscilla, I'm not assuming that you're going to be, you know, have these horrible circumstances of life that you're going to have to trudge through. But what I will say is we can learn from someone that prospered and was successful and did well in those difficult circumstances. And so Joseph, it says here, and it's just amazing to me how the Bible describes him. While he is, you know, a servant, a slave, a Potiphar, the scriptures tell us that he was a prosperous man, that he was prosperous. Now, if I was sold into slavery tomorrow, I probably would not consider myself to be prosperous. But what the scriptures are referring to and how the Lord describes him here is that he is one who, whatever he puts his hand to do, it succeeds. And over and over and over again, as Joseph experiences different hardships, whether it be his brothers or Potiphar or later in the prison and then later before Pharaoh, he just continuously rises to the top. And it just seems like everything he does prospers. And so I want to learn a little bit from him this afternoon. First of all, I like learning from not only what people do, but what they don't do. You may ask, if you had been in his situation and plotted against and sold into slavery by your brothers, what would the next chapter of your life look like? I mean, what would have been your next round of decisions, and how good would your relationship to God be? I think maybe different than Joseph's. For starters, a few things Joseph didn't do. We don't see Joseph taking much time to feel sorry for himself. If you notice, there's not a lot of, now Joseph was absolutely the victim of circumstance and family and everything else, but he didn't make himself the victim. And there's a lot of that going on today, a lot of excuse making and a lot of I'm the victim kind of thing. And we don't really see that happening in Joseph's life. What we see is he just continuously puts God first and serves God anyway. We don't see Joseph also cursing God or complaining or making excuse. In fact, as I read the book of Genesis and even as I read some of the other passages that tell us about Joseph, I never see anything in the Bible negative said about him or that he was that he griped or complained. But no, nothing negative written. We just see him continuously serving the Lord. We need to know that no matter what our circumstances are, if we're believers and we're following the Lord, because I'll say this, if we're not a believer, then the circumstances of our life may be very negative to try to push us or pull us toward God. If we're not following the Lord, the circumstances of our life may be corrective. But if we're believers and we're following the Lord, I'll tell you this, the circumstances that we come across and the things that we go through are all part of his plan. We need to recognize that. Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. I try to remind myself and others about that verse. It doesn't say that everything we experience will be good. It doesn't say that at all. It says everything works together. All things work together for good. And I use an example that I like to use because I like my wife's chocolate chip cookies. But if you take and just a sack of flour and sit down in front of your TV later and you're just going to enjoy a little snack, it's not going to be very good, is it? No, the flour doesn't taste good. But when you mix the flour with sugar and butter and what else is in there? Brown sugar and chocolate chips and everything else. And then you put it in the oven and bake it for the right amount of time. And then right after they come out of the oven, if you're standing there waiting, you'll get the best ones right there. You see, that's kind of how our life is. It's not that every ingredient in our life is always good, positive. But when you put it all together, God is doing something. And so we don't see Joseph cursing God or taking time to feel sorry for himself. This is interesting. We don't see him plotting revenge. You know, there's others in the Bible that were done wrong by their family or their brother, like Jacob and Esau. You know, Jacob supplanted Esau. And what did Esau do? He plotted revenge for 21 years. Joseph was worried, or not Joseph, Jacob was worried as he was worried about what his brother might do. But we don't see Joseph doing that. In fact, apparently after the initial shock was absorbed and he had come to the realization that God had a wise purpose in this plan. And so we see in Genesis 50 verse 20, where Joseph had all the authority and could do anything he wanted to his brothers. He said to his brothers, but as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And so the first thing I just realized about Joseph, he was right with God in the heart. He was right with God in the heart. He's not making himself the victim. He's not cursing God. He's not plotting revenge. Even in these difficult circumstances, he's not doing those things. What is he doing? The only way I know to describe Joseph is that Joseph was industrious. In verse 4, we find some important words. It says in verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight. That's in Potiphar's sight. And he served him. Joseph served him. And he served him. So here's what Joseph said. Okay, if God wants me to be a slave, if God wants me to be a servant in Potiphar's house, I'm assuming he would have picked different for himself. But he's saying, if this is what God wants me to be, I'm going to be the very, very best I can be at this. And he was. When I sign someone's card or something, I always put Colossians 3:23 under my name because it's my favorite verse. And I'm not saying I live to it perfectly. I absolutely don't. In fact, it's even written right here on the inside of my suit jacket, Colossians 3:23. What does it say? And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Joseph knew that by serving Potiphar, he was serving the Lord. And so he served Potiphar as he would have served the Lord. He gave himself, he allowed himself to work and he gave his best to Potiphar, even in tough situations. And the Lord rewarded him and made him prosperous. A lot of times we look at the situation we're in, it's not exactly what we choose. And so then We're unwilling to serve. We're unwilling to you know, go all in. This isn't what I would have picked. But Joseph said, hey, here I am. I'm a servant of the Lord's. I'm going to show Potiphar that people that are the Lord's people, they serve a different way. And so he served. He was industrious. He gave himself to becoming the best servant Potiphar had ever had. He was loyal to Potiphar, if you read the story. He was trustworthy. Read the next few verses, and you can tell he was trustworthy. He was hardworking. We see that not here, but not only here, but also other places we see Joseph. He worked well with others. We see that. He showed leadership characteristics. He was creative. He was motivated. He encouraged people around him. He was always willing to take on more responsibility. He was a rare success in the midst of many slaves, many servants. Rather than being dissatisfied with the position we're in, maybe we should just accept where we are, where God has put us. I mean, if we're following God and he knows what's best and all things are working together for good and he's working our life out for his glory and God is where he's got, maybe we ought to just serve him to the very best of our ability right there and just see what happens. It's kind of where Joseph was. And so Joseph used not only served the Lord, but used his circumstances to be a testimony to the others around him. I don't know if you caught this, but in those few verses there, the Lord is mentioned many times. In verse 3 in particular, it says that his master, this is Potiphar, notice his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. This is an unsaved Egyptian, and he's recognizing there's something in Joseph that I don't have. The Lord is working for him, and the Lord is making him to prosper. I mean, imagine, I'm sure Potiphar, it sounds like he was a wealthy person. It sounds like apparently he bought servants, and those servants were working for him. Imagine his surprise and response when one of his servants cheerfully served with all his heart. This was not some ordinary servant. This was Joseph. His behavior pointed to the Lord God. And I kind of entitled this The Secret to Success, because how was Joseph able to do all of that? I mean, how was he able? Because I've never been sold into slavery. Lord willing, I will never be. Hope, Lord willing. I mean, goodness, I hope it doesn't get there, right? But I've never had that sort of circumstance. But I just can't imagine how difficult it would be to just keep on keeping on with the Lord in that circumstance. How did he do it? Well, it all goes back to the beginning with Joseph. And I appreciate Brother Vern and what he said in his letter there. And he kept pointing back, remember, I think the word remember was in there quite a few times. Remember this verse. And remember that verse. And remember your family. And remember what you've been taught. Because there are times when we're in a difficult circumstance, we can't always see how it's all working out for good. We can't always see over the mountain we're trying to climb. And you don't know exactly how it's all going to turn out. But what we can do is we can trust in God and his word and what we know. And I believe that's what Joseph did. In fact, just turn back to Joseph. There's not a book in your Bible called Joseph. Go back to Genesis 37. Genesis 37, and I want you to see how it all began with Joseph, at least the part of his life that we know about. Genesis 37, and we'll just go down to verse 3. Now Israel, this is Joseph's dad, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Look at verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Now, I truly don't believe Joseph was doing a na-na-na-na-na to his brother. I don't think he was trying to stick it to them like, hey, let me tell you what God told me. I think he's just communicating. God's given me this vision, this dream. It's important. And I want to share it with you because apparently this is something that's going to happen. And so he goes and he shares the dream. Verse 7, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Now, this didn't go over well. He's the most beloved son. He's got the fancy coat on. They all hate him anyway. And now he's telling them, you're going to one day bow to me. And I don't know that Joseph understands what all this means. I certainly the brothers don't. And apparently his dad doesn't, based on what we see in just a second here in the text. But Joseph knows God's sharing something with him, and it's important. And his brethren said unto him, verse 8, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Now just pause for a second. Where did his dreams and his words come from? They came from the Lord. And they hated him because of the words that God had given him and the dream that God had given him. Look at verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream, told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Have you all read the rest of Genesis? That's exactly what they all do. But it says in verse 11, and his brethren envied him, but notice this, but his father observed the saying. Now, we can assume, based upon Joseph's testimony, that he had been God and the God of his fathers, and we can assume that he had faith. Even more than that, based upon chapter 37 here, God had spoken to him directly through these dreams. He had a dream from God, and so he knows that there's coming a day when the Lord is going to use me and my family in some way or another is going to bow down. And the way that they bow down is they rely on Joseph to preserve them during famine. But he doesn't maybe know all that, but he just knows, no, God's going to do something special with me and special with my life. And I'm just telling you, when he's in that valley in Potiphar's house, or he's in the innermost part of the prison and because of, Potiphar's wife, or later when the butler and the baker forget all about Joseph, when he's in these low points in his life, I just have to believe that he's going back and thinking, no, but God said, this is what's going to happen. No, but God said, there's better coming for me. There's coming a time where God is going to lift me out of this. I'll say this, his circumstances did not always reflect the outcome. You know, when you're going through a trial, and you're thinking about, okay, I got all these, the promises of God are great and good, but aren't they a little bit harder to be joyful about during the trial? Because the trial doesn't always, it's just always hard to picture the end in the trial. He was holding on to what God had given him, what God had told him through his dreams and through his upbringing and through the way that his dad had taught him and no doubt passed on his faith. His brother said about his dreams, let's see what will become of his dreams. And Joseph must have said in his heart, we will see. Here's the thing. Joseph trusted God's word. He never let go of the dreams God had given him. And it all came to pass just exactly how God said. So I'll share with you what I believe is the recipe for the success. And don't get nervous. It's not follow your dreams. If God gave you a dream like Joseph, well, he doesn't do that anymore, by the way. So, but in the Old Testament, there were times he gave people a dream. And if God gave Joseph a dream, certainly trust in that dream. But let me say it like this, because those dreams to Joseph were simply God's word to him, God's instruction to him. So the secret to us is this, follow God's word. You want to know the secret for success? Follow God's word. You say, well, that's simple. It is. It's very simple, but that is the recipe for success. You say, well, it doesn't matter if it's a business opportunity, or does it matter if it's a ministry opportunity or a family thing? No, it doesn't matter. Just follow God's word. That is the recipe for success. If you want to succeed, biblically succeed and succeed in the eyes of God, then you follow his word. That's what Joseph did. No matter what his circumstance was, no matter what trial he was facing. And by the way, even in the good times when he was number two in all of Egypt and he's handing out the food, he never forgot God. He never did. He always followed God's word. He held on to the things that God had given him and he acted upon them. So when I look at a graduate or someone and they want some grand advice from me, I say, I have none, but I can tell you this. The Bible tells me if we'll just follow God's word, we can't go wrong. Yeah, I'm going to give you a few scriptures and we're going to be done. A couple of things I like to think about. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you understand this? The ungodly are trying to counsel. They're trying to give counsel. The ungodly are trying to tell you how to live your life. They're trying to tell you how to make your decisions. No, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what the Bible says. You want to prosper? And by the way, it doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. Remember, world's standard of success may be different, is different than God's. But if you delight in the law of the Lord and you stay away from the ungodly and stay away from the sinner and the scornful and you just meditate in his law and you heed it, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what the Bible says. Joshua 1 and verse 8, the only place in the Bible the word success is used. This, Joshua's just taking over Moses' job. Who would like that job? You know, taking over Moses, filling Moses' shoes. That'd be pretty tough. And if you look in Joshua 1, he's worried about it. But God gives him an answer. Here's how you're going to see success. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Where does the success come from? Hearing God's word and doing it. Psalms 37 and verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The reason that lives are all messed up in 2024 is because people are not following God's word. It's plain and simple. And I know life's complicated and there's all these extenuating circumstances. I'll just tell you this. If everyone would get back to good old fashioned, read the Bible and do it, fixes a lot of problems. And so what do you tell a graduating senior? Well, follow God's word. Allow God to lead you. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal God's will to you and then do that. God has a wonderful plan for your life, everyone's life in here. But you got to hold on to God's word if you want to see success. I was a man that invested a lot in me. I've spoken of him several times here. His name was Chris, and just very important to me. And he would teach in his Sunday school class. And he would teach us in the college and career class. He taught us, and he taught. He just is a wonderful Bible teacher, and much of what woke me up, got me in the ministry, was him teaching the Bible, and just his instruction was so good. But he always taught, and he always told us, just remember two things. If you just remember two things, you'll never go wrong. And he was right. If you just remember these two things, you'll never go wrong. In fact, I have the first concordance I ever owned. He bought for me and he gave it to me. And in the front of it, he wrote me a really nice note. And then he put a verse in there for me to read. And then at the bottom, it just says, remember two things. It doesn't even say what the two things are, because guess what? I already know them. You know what the two things are? You're dying to know. Number one, follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. The two is don't use credit cards. But one is follow the Holy Spirit. He taught us if you want success in this life, it's not about following your heart. It's not about following your dreams. It's, no, get a hold of God's dreams for you and do that. Follow what He wants for your life. It is better. It is better than what you want. You say, well, I have all these grand plans. I had a bunch of grand plans one time. And at some point, I gave those over to the Lord, and He began to show me His grand plans. Can I tell you, His plans are better. He desires good for us. In Jeremiah, He says that He has thoughts of peace toward us to give us an expected end. He wants good for us. The question is, are we following His word and His spirit? That's it. That's the secret to success. You can be a successful business person. You can be in the prison and be prosperous if you're following God's word and His spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. I thank You for Priscilla and, Lord, her accomplishment. And, Lord, we just pray that You would reveal to her very clearly Your will for her life. We pray that You would encourage her to, and help those around her to encourage her to just do Your will. And I pray that, Lord, as she follows You, You would bless, that You would, Lord, just lead her and help her all the way. Lord, we pray for her. And I know there's other graduates, maybe not here, but just around, that are also making all those big choices right now. And we just pray that they would lean toward You and toward Your word to make the choices. Father, we pray that You'd bless us as we go down to the reception and just spend some time in fellowship there. Lord, would You bless the food too and just our time together? And we'll thank You for it all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.